data. Information about your local market can help you make decisions on how you do business at your radio station and involving your radio station website, not only today, but tomorrow, next week, next year, and on into the future. Today, we're talking with one of the leading experts in the country when it comes to small to medium business market data, and we're going to get his insight on how that data can help you transform how you do business, not only at your radio station, but online at your radio station tomorrow, next week, next year, and on into the future. Today, we have the one and only Corey Elliott from Burrell Associates, and we'll do that right after this.
You're listening to Better Radio Websites, the definitive podcast for radio professionals who want their websites to generate more traffic and substantial revenue. Get time-tested techniques, secret tricks, and valuable tools in online content, marketing, analytics, security, social media, and much more. Ready for your radio station to dominate digital in your market? Here we go.
Hi, it's Jim, and welcome to Better Radio Websites, the podcast that wants to help you get more visitors and the most revenue from your radio station website. And today we have the nation's foremost authority on local advertising. If you haven't seen or heard Corey Elliott online, you've likely seen some of his work in the various charts that Burrell Associates publishes throughout the year. He leads Burrell Associates' ongoing surveys of local marketers, the largest survey of small to medium businesses in the entire country, and the company's expansive database of local advertising and marketing expenditures. He's the co-host of the Local Marketing Trends podcast, along with Gordon Burrell, and he also hosts a bi-weekly video program called Corey's Local Marketing Minute on YouTube. Corey, welcome to the podcast today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Pleasure being here.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're at the home office today, I guess?
Yes. This is the illustrious home office in Williamsburg, the bustling metropolis of Williamsburg, Virginia.
Well, it looks great. It looks great. Look, do me a favor. Kind of give I'm very familiar with Burrell Associates and what you do, because I mean you're really kind of a rock star to me. Because I've been to webinars and I've seen, to conferences or whatever, and I've seen Burrell data, on the big screens and in presentations and whatnot. And that's your work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, you've got to expand your horizons. That's number one. Number two. Yeah. Burrell Associates is all about, we capture, analyze, and forecast local advertising spends. So we're all about what's happening in local media, with local advertisers, not so much the national stuff, because there's plenty of people out there looking at national trends and things like that. We try and get down onto Main Street and say, hey, here's what's going down on Main Street, and here's how it affects local media companies. So that's our gig. That's what we do. And we do it across the nation, every county in the U.S.
And so companies buy this data, and that helps them do what?
Yeah, it helps them understand where the money's moving, right? Mm-hmm. So most of our clients are media companies or ad agencies. Some pure plays in there too, but anybody who's interested in the local media environment and where money is predicted to go, where it's been, where it is right now, and where it could go. That's what we help them provide. And then we also like to consider ourselves kind of the bridge between local businesses and media companies, because we run an SMB panel, we run local advertiser studies, we get inside the head of a local advertiser, of a local business, and they tell us stuff that they might not tell media companies or reps that come into their door. And so we kind of move that information back and forth between a media company and a business, and trying to bridge that gap and kind of help everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Now, have you ever come across somebody that says, I'm not really interested in all that data stuff, and I just want to go and do what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's the definition of insanity is rampant out there, right? I mean, it is, it's amazing, how much, how much people won't rely on data. And in fact, we just completed a survey, and this is, I'm not even picking on media companies now. I'm going to go back and pick on local businesses. Because the one thing that local businesses tell us over and over and over again that they want from media companies is ROI. They want to understand that the money they're spending obviously is making some kind of return, right?
Sure.
And so we quizzed them. We said, okay, do you have any process to set that up? Do you have anything that captures that? And or at moreover, do you base your decisions on data or gut? And dang near half of them still. They want ROI, but they base their decisions on gut. So there you go.
But with an ever-changing world, I mean, the world today is not the way it was last week. And I mean, and that seems to be getting a lot faster. I mean, the world tonight is going to be a different world than it is now.
Oh, yes. Oh, heavens to Betsy, yes. And things have rapidly changed since the pandemic hit. That was a complete turn. Obviously, but in one of the aspects is how local businesses and local advertisers think about marketing and what they do. It taught them a lot of lessons, and it has carried through to how they are engaging with local media companies now. It's different than it was just in 2019.
So what kind of things have you seen radio stations kind of change once they get that data? Do they change their selling? Do they change who they sell to? What do they change with that data?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. And also it helps expand the mind because it's right there in black and white in numbers about this amazing, and we all know it, the shift to digital, right? That's an old headline. But when you see it kind of in stark terms of, oh, this is where the money's being spent, you can choose to engage in that or not, up to you, or you can just write it into the beach, you know,
right.
One of the two. But that's what a lot of radio stations do. And radio has had a great vantage point in the last few years, because radio, if you look at the major local media companies, right? I'm talking about TV, newspaper, radio. Let's even put directories in there. Remember those? Remember those big yellow pages?
Yeah.
Well, they were the first to be hit by this whole digital revolution back in the last century, right? They're the first ones to be impacted. Then came newspapers, then came TV, now radio. And radio, the smart ones, watched what happened to all these other three and said, ooh, when our time comes, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. Let's not ignore the world of digital, and let's get ahead of it as much as we can right now. And so there are some cool things happening out there in radio stations.
What do you think? So what are they doing to kind of keep themselves forward? Are they offering SEO, website design, all this other jazz? Or
if they want to survive, they are. And the reason I say that, there's a couple things that fall under this category of really cool things that are happening. Digital marketing services, as far as a modern media company goes right now, has got to be on the table. You've got to you can't ignore it. You've got to decide. You can decide to ignore it. You can decide to say, nope, there's not enough profit in SEO or whatever the case is. You can decide, but it's there. It's being bought. I always like to say, if you don't believe me, imagine all of a sudden you are now the proud small business owner of a hangar manufacturing place,
sure.
Specialty hangers, right? You just started your business and you've got your first dollar to go spend on getting your name out there. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a choice. Do you buy a radio ad or do you build a website?
Oh, easy.
Well, exactly.
Website.
And then after you get that decision taken care of, okay, do you buy a newspaper ad or do you invest in your social media presence?
Oh my gosh, you have to have something to point these people to whenever the ads need to point the people somewhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Point being, in this day and age, there is so much more to spend my money on before I even get to those traditional advertising types that falls into this realm of digital services. That's just where we exist now.
Sure.
So that's one thing. The second thing is local advertisers and local businesses have told us, Burrell, over and over and over and over again, what they are looking for from a local media company is a marketing partner, somebody who has some kind of marketing savvy that can help guide them through what to do. Mm-hmm. They're not asking for a bunch of products. They're not asking to, boy, can I go have lunch with your GM? They don't care about that. What they care about is, how do I get somebody to understand they need a hanger, want a quality hanger, come to my shop to buy a hanger, and then go brag about it?
Sure.
How do I connect those dots? If you're sitting at a media company and you can help me connect those dots, then you got my business.
Yeah. You have to do everything that they're mm-hmm. looking for whenever they start wanting to sell hangers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So speaking of websites and radio stations, mm-hmm. how are radio stations doing with their websites? Have you seen any kind of data on that?
Oh, man. Every radio station website out there is just awesome, isn't it? It's just really well put together.
No,
right?
No,
you know that.
No. It's not. There's some of the most horrible web designs on the internet out there. We're talking 1990s stuff.
Yeah, the best that 2003 has to offer, right? I think we can pick on those guys all the time, but the website, who am I talking to? I know who I'm talking to. It is the storefront for your website. And remember, I'm looking at things very much from a business point of view, so not so much the consumer and what the consumer does and sure. how the consumer acts with everything. But as far as a local business goes, don't think for a moment that a local business who wants to break in or wants to expand their digital presence isn't looking at your station's website mm-hmm. and judging it, because they are.
Sure.
You know, why would I invest with somebody who says they can help me with my website when their website looks, like I said, the best that 2003 has to offer?
Right.
So that's not going to get very far. But there are some out there, and there are the other thing that's happening with really smart. It's a Midwest Family Radio. Mm-hmm. Is doing something really clever, I think, and I'm sure there are others out there, but I got to work with them a little bit, and they understand the importance now of first party data and being able to collect any and all first party data they possibly can. And one of the major ways to do that is through your website, right? Whether it's signing up for emails or this, that, or the other thing. And they're collecting and building this own data, because who knows what the hell is going to happen with cookies, right? So right. let's just put that aside.
Yeah.
Maybe something, maybe nothing, who knows? But let's cover our bases and make sure we have a hearty first-person data set so that we can go back and offer our advertisers a way to connect to the people that are important to them.
Right.
So that's another function of a website that I think is critical going forward.
Yeah. So every radio station should have a newsletter and be holding on to that data of contest submissions and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to, you must have a newsletter. I would encourage you to think of ways to collect data, because whether it is a newsletter or a contest or whatever, get that data. What you need to invest in is a smart databaser, you know, somebody who can bring all that data together, clean it up, and keep building on it.
Sure.
That's certainly a place where you can win.
Sure, exactly. So what about what other things that radio stations could be doing? Podcast, video, what other things?
My boss, Gordon Burrell, the namesake of our company, big pot, loves the podcasts. The thing is that I'm challenged with podcasting, although I like it, I haven't heard a great, and I'm sure it's out there. One of your listeners is probably going to send you an email refuting everything I'm saying. I'm not sure how you really monetize a podcast, a mm-hmm. local podcast. I'm sure, like I said, I've just issued a challenge. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what radio is sitting on is this other term that's been bantied about quite a bit is influencers, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. an influencer. You're an influencer. We're all influencers. Well, radio more than any other, I think, local media type, maybe TV, certainly not newspaper, is sitting on influencers. They've got them in-house. That's who these people are. Mm-hmm. And it's something that they that could dovetail over for them. We were talking before we got on about videos, about video. And that's the one thing to add that a radio site could add is the visual element, right? So you've got, there's another, I can't remember. There's a station that's doing a great job with their DJ influencer and sending them out to, you know, the local home improvement place and just shooting little 20 to 30 second TikTok-y things out there. And it's driving business for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They have to, radio stations have to think outside of the box, especially when it comes to all of these other, and it's so easy. It's not like you have to hire a film crew and a truck and everything like that, like it was 20 years ago. You
it's got an
it
in iPhone. Your phone. Yeah. Yep. It is. And that's the other thing. And of course, better equipment, all that. Yeah, it's going to look better. But here's the thing. Thank you, TikTok and Vine and Instagram and everything. We've all gotten kind of used to non-professional looking stuff.
Right.
It doesn't really, and the younger you are, the less you're fazed by it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it can be done.
Yeah. All right. A question about streaming.
Okay.
I've heard some stations wanting to, and I'm asking from a data perspective, obviously, some stations wanting to charge for their streaming, kind of go against the, kind of do an OTT type of model, but for audio, like have their regular stream, but then have another stream, which they monetize, but is commercial free. You seeing anything about that?
Yeah. Back in when I sat at a newspaper, we'd call that a paywall.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so how did that work out for newspapers? And and I'm being snarky, but it is a chance for radio stations to understand, okay, what did happen with that? Did it work anywhere? What can we learn from that? Do we have enough? Do we have something special enough that we could charge for it? That's the challenge with a lot of newspaper websites is, and I've sat in those rooms where these decisions were made, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Where it didn't work is when the newspaper was a little overconfident in their own journalists and saying, well, people are going to pay to read our guys because we've got the best guys, right? Right? And the community went, not so much. So it's a real, it's a sobering thing. It's understanding what do we have that nobody else has.
Yeah.
And what's the, not the cost of that, but, you know, what can we charge for that? So it's going to be different for everybody, but I would make sure you do a very sober self-inventory, kind of like you're going into AA, I guess,
right.
a fearless self-inventory of, do you have the assets to do it? Do you have something that's worthy? Not just you think it's cool. Do you have something worthy?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, referring to the radio in 2032 podcast episode, because I do listen to, what do you see radio and the radio station website in 10 years?
Oh God. That was a challenge. Referring to the podcast series we did over the summer, my boss and I, where we would challenge CEOs and higher ups about what they thought their plans were for 2032, 10 years out. What's it going to look like in 10 years? Mm-hmm. All of them, not just radio, but newspaper and others included, and TV stations, all had a great faith in humanity, which is lovely to hear. They all are sure that their listeners, readers, viewers are going to be around in 10 years, and it's going to be great. Didn't hear a whole lot of incredibly new things like, we're going to beam songs directly into people's brains or anything like that.
Yeah.
But everybody certainly believed in themselves and that they're still going to engage the local consumer. I think that's true. I think the more you can pivot to, and it's a giant pendulum, right? Especially for larger larger media that have, you know, a family of stations, or, you know, the iHearts of the world, or whatever, where it's the pendulum always shifts between centralizing everything and then driving it down to the local level. And then, and I'm talking about years in between this.
Sure. Yeah.
But the understanding the power of local and being the local expert is going to carry you, and however that means, however that comes out, I think it's going to carry you farther, because that's what's going to make you different. If I had a dollar for every time I went to any market, whether what media, it doesn't matter, every market, and started a presentation, somebody's going to raise their hand. If I say whatever, if I say radio is going to go up 5% or whatever the status is, somebody will raise their hand and say, well, yeah, but my market's different. Every market I go to is different. And I kind of tease about that, but it's true. Then lean on it, lean into it. How do you develop that market? How do you be the Des Moines expert? You know, how do you beat everything else? And I think that's where you can take 2032 to, is down to the local level.
I firmly agree. I think it's all going to be how hyper local can you be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, Corey, I don't want to take up some more of your time. I know that you're busy there in the home office today. Have you always been a data guy?
I used to work in a different life. Are you ready? I don't think I've told. I moved out to LA because I was going to work in film.
Wow. I could see that. I could see
that. Yeah. You could see that. I want to stress behind the camera.
Okay.
This isn't an in front of the camera thing. No.
Give everybody how they can get in contact with you. Of course, pitch the podcast. And I love the local marketing minute on YouTube. I could sit there and watch every one of those over and over and over again. It's just perfect.
Oh, great. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, it's easy. BurrellAssociates.com. Go up to the top rail there. It says Insights. Drop down. You'll see our podcast. So we alternate weeks. We do podcasts every 2 weeks, and then we do these local marketing minutes, which are an average of about 5-minute videos on some piece of data we found through our SMB panel or through our local advertiser survey. Or sometimes it's just data that other people have that we find, and we kind of talk about and try to always relate it to local media. What can a local media company do with this information?
Yeah.
So they're fun to do. BurrellAssociates.com. That's the place.
Absolutely. Corey, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Really appreciate your insight and all of the great data that you send our way.
Well, great. It was great being here. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Better Radio Websites. Remember to subscribe, leave a rating or comment, and share this episode with your team and radio colleagues. For show notes, archived episodes, and more free resources, visit BetterRadioWebsites.com. Need help starting or making your radio website better? Visit SkyrocketRadio.com.